Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's precious word for our meditation on this Sunday after Christmas is a portion of the gospel lesson read before in Luke chapter 2, namely verses 25 through 32, which I would read again as follows. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our newborn Savior and Redeemer, dearly beloved fellow hearers of his most wonderful word. We Christians, by God's grace, had a most wonderful spiritual buildup to Christmas during the Holy Advent season, as our hearts and minds were prepared by the preaching of repentance, by the preaching of faith in God's Messiah for the coming of the Savior. Our children put the happiness of Christmas into scriptural perspective when in their recitations on Christmas Eve they reminded us of our great need for this Savior, of God's promises of old concerning his coming, and of his perfect fulfillment of all of those promises and prophecies on the first Christmas night. And then, on Christmas Day, just 2 days ago, we explored together the various reasons why we Christians have not just temporary fleeting happiness at Christmas time, but why we Christians have real, lasting joy from the message of Christmas, from the glad tidings of Christ's conception and birth, namely that he is true God, conceived by the Holy Ghost in the Virgin Mary, that he is also true man, born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea, and that therefore he is God's Redeemer of the world from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. But my dear brethren, it's simply not enough for us just to know all of those wonderful facts and details and comforts with our heads. Just seeing the baby Jesus lying there in Bethlehem's manger isn't enough. Just knowing that he is there for you isn't enough. But dear old Simeon in our text shows us how to make the blessings of Christmas our very own for time and for eternity, as the blessed result of taking the Christ child up into our arms of faith. That result, according to our text, is threefold. The Christ child brings peace to our hearts in the remission of our sins. That Christ child brings purpose to our lives, gives us something to do for him as we live here in this world. And that Christ child of Bethlehem brings hope to our future, especially as we consider our blessed departure out of this veil of tears into the eternal Christmas happiness of heaven. St. Luke tells us by way of introduction that this Simeon was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Here we have, in other words, among all those Jews of Jesus' day who had gradually over many hundreds of years slipped into what we call today dead orthodoxy, or mere formalism in religion, here we have a true believer of the Old Testament. Just. Not of his own goodness and merit before God, but justified as was Abraham of old by faith in the promised Messiah. And he was devout. He was sincerely in love with God's precious word and with the habitation of God's house, the place where his honor dwells in the preaching and teaching of God's word. And that's why he was in the temple. And that's why Anna departed not from the temple night and day. These dear believers of the Old Testament made clear testimony of their faith by their actions and by their example. Now Simeon, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, like Mary and Joseph, like the shepherds of Bethlehem, and we don't hear really of any others that this particularly fits, they were looking forward in patient faith to the coming of God's consolation, a word which simply means the helper and comforter of his people. They were looking for him whose advent had been foretold by all of God's prophets down through the whole Old Testament since the world began. And the Holy Ghost was upon Simeon, Luke writes in our text. God's own Holy Spirit had not only created the saving faith in Simeon's heart through the precious word of his grace, he had not only preserved him in that faith throughout his life up until that point in time, and he was an aged believer, but he had obviously also strengthened his faith to the extent that his devout life as a Christian was shining forth as a beacon to others in that city of Jerusalem, as external witness of his confidence in the coming Savior. And, Luke writes, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, and we don't know exactly how, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed one, the Messiah. What a wonderful and assuring promise that was to this aging believer. How singularly blessed he must have felt with that comforting prospect in view. And he didn't know when it would take place or how it would take place, but it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Now here's a question for you. Do you feel as blessed as Simeon was? You should, you know, because you have had the same promise that Simeon had. But you have it in fulfillment. In the Holy Scriptures, which testify of Jesus himself said, you have already seen the Lord's Christ in all of his splendor as your Redeemer and Savior, as your mediator and advocate with the Father. You have seen him as your protector and deliverer. You have seen him in the scriptures as your prophet, priest, and king. You have seen him in much greater and more glorious detail than even Simeon saw him in the temple as he took him up in his arms. Just think of what you and I have to be thankful for in the privilege we have of seeing the Savior in his word. And we should be thankful for it. And we should show forth our gratitude for that superb advantage by using God's precious word diligently and faithfully, by growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple, the place to which the same Spirit of God moves also us to assemble and to receive the knowledge of the truth. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Indeed, what a fitting place to receive this glimpse of the Savior, of the Messiah in his humiliation. Here was the Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, made under the law, subject to its demands in our place, fulfilling it even at the tender age of 40 days, as Mary and Joseph made the offering required by the law for their newborn son. Now, Jesus underwent this obedience to the law, not for himself. He didn't need to do that for himself. We needed him to do that for us, in order to satisfy the Father's justice in our place. Of all the babies probably in attendance there with their parents on that day, and the temple of God was a big place, Jesus stood out to Simeon, not because of some supernatural glow on his face, not because of some holy aura around Mary, but it was the Holy Ghost's leading that pointed him out to Simeon, just as the same Holy Spirit identifies him to men today through the gospel. As for example, when John the Baptist said, pointing to Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There he is, right there. Simeon took the child up in his arms and blessed God, glorified God in that wonderful song of praise called the Nunc Dimittis, which we sing in our communion service after having received the Savior's body and blood in the sacrament. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, just as you said. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Notice that the Lord had indeed fulfilled his special promise to Simeon in letting him see with his own two eyes the one who would bring salvation to his people. The one whom Anna recognized as him who would bring redemption to his people by the remission of their sins. But Simeon was not just seeing the physical child before him. He was seeing, as we all do by faith, He was seeing all that this divine person would accomplish for sinful mankind. As this is revealed in both the Old and the New Testaments of Scripture. For here was the salvation which God had prepared before the face of all people. Salvation. Not salvation from the Romans, not salvation in the social sense, as the social gospel preachers speak of it, salvation from alcoholism, drug addiction, homelessness, and despair. This was salvation for his people, and salvation prepared before the face of all people. It wasn't just for Simeon to see this salvation. It wasn't just for Jesus' disciples to see. It wasn't just for the Jews of Jesus' day to see as he walked visibly among them, preached to them, healed their sick, and eventually died on the accursed tree of the cross for them. But this salvation, Simeon says, was for all people to see in the gospel and to accept and to trust in for their own salvation. Indeed, dear brethren, as we, like Simeon of old, take this Christ child up into our arms of faith, we have, as the blessed result, the very same benefit that Simeon had. Peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul calls it in Romans 5:1. Peace of heart. Rest for your souls, Jesus himself calls it in John 14. That is the indescribable peace of conscience that assures us that because of Jesus, we are no longer God's enemies here in this world, doomed to hell and damnation, but rather that God, for Christ's sake, no longer charges our sins against us. And when we enfold the Christ child in confidence of Jesus' merits for our redemption, when we enfold the Christ child as the propitiation, the perfect satisfaction of God's justice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, then Paul says, we are justified. We are personally in receipt of God's forgiveness and possessors of his peace. The peace of God which passeth all human understanding. The peace of God which the children of this world simply do not understand, do not get. What a boon, or what an unspeakably great blessing to a poor, undeserving sinner. Just think of this. You yourself have seen God's salvation in his precious gospel. And so have I. And just recently in the glad tidings of Christmas, take up that babe of Bethlehem into your arms of faith, like Simeon of old, and make his peace your very own, praying with the hymn writer, ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. That's peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But now we see from our text the second great blessed result of taking the Christ child up into our heart, into our arms of faith, namely that he brings purpose to our lives so that we work zealously to spread the glad tidings of salvation also to other people. Simeon sings in his praise to the Lord not only that his salvation has been prepared before the face of all people, that it's there, that it is, as some people say, available to all people, but that this bringer of salvation was to be a light, to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. The dear old Simeon knew very well of all the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Messiah and his mission, including those which spoke of him as a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah 60, for example, where the prophet speaks in spirit to Jesus himself and says, "The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." And in chapter 42, where the Father speaks to Christ, saying, "I, the Lord, will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." These and many other prophecies of the Old Testament clearly show that although the Jews had a distinct advantage in having in their custody the Holy Scriptures of the Old Testament as stewards, yet God's plan of salvation was from the very beginning already intended for all people. As Paul writes to Timothy, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. To the knowledge of this blessed truth, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, that Christ came to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We, brethren, are Gentiles. We are non-Jews. And God's gracious will toward us should so fill us with gratitude to him that we cheerfully share or shoulder our responsibilities to share this blessed news with other people, to spread it far and wide, as he instructs us, beginning at home in our own backyard, so to speak, and then spreading out from there to all people. That's the purpose that this Christ child has given to us in our lives. That's what he wants us to do for him. And God's salvation is also the glory of his people Israel, Simeon says. The sure vindication of God's promises of old that the Messiah would come from Judah, that he would descend from the Jewish people and from the house of King David. And yet the true Israel, the children of the promise, as the Apostle Paul calls all true believers, the children of the promise are counted for the seed, and the crowning glory and cause for rejoicing to this people Israel is in the coming of their Redeemer. That their own salvation through faith in the body and blood of this Lamb, this true Passover Lamb, would save them from eternal death. But John had to write concerning the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, that Jesus came to his own, people who had all these wonderful advantages of the prophecies, and his own received him not, just as the prophets had foretold. And yet the Lord, in his mercy, still wants us to make the Jews targets of our mission endeavors. He wants the glory, the zealous and courageous witnesses unto him to testify also to his people Israel, because his salvation has been prepared before the face of all people. God will have all men, even the Jews who rejected him. God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of this blessed truth. But now the dear Simeon has one final blessed result to share with us as the result of taking the Christ child up into our arms of faith. And that is that this precious Savior brings hope to our future, especially as we look forward to a blessed departure from this life. Now, some people say, well, why are you preaching about such a downer on the Sunday after Christmas? This isn't a downer. This is a cause for great rejoicing. Remember that the Holy Ghost had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, and now he had seen him. Not just with his own physical eyes, but with his eyes of faith, so that he confidently declares, joyfully declares, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He was ready, cheerfully and peacefully, to depart this life and to reap the benefits of salvation which had been prepared for him. What could be more joyous? What could be more comforting? What could be more Christmassy in the joy that we have in our Savior? Temporal death for us Christians, be a person young or old, should not be filled with terror. For Christ, God's salvation, has conquered death for us as to its pain, as to its terror. Sure, because of the weakness of our flesh, death is still a bitter prospect to face. But when Christians contemplate our ultimate departure from this evil world, we have to fight. We have to fight the efforts of Satan at our last hour to use our weaknesses against us, to shake our confidence in Christ our Savior. And we can successfully fight against Satan and his wicked efforts to deceive us and seduce us into misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. We can do that only by wielding the sword of the Spirit, God's holy word, which states in unmistakable terms, and this passage should be on our lips and in our hearts every day of our lives, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope in the face of death is the real test of our faith. Because hope, in the sense of Scripture, remember, means confident anticipation. No guesswork, as in the hope of the worldlings concerning the things of this world. Real confidence that God will give us exactly what he promised to give us. Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, if hope in Christ is based upon a social gospel, that Jesus was a nice guy who taught us how to be nice guys, Jesus wants us to share what we have with the needy, Jesus wants us to assist alcoholics with recovery, Jesus wants us to respect everybody's religion the same as his religion, If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, because that's not the way it is. That's what the poor wretches have who believe in a social gospel for the here and now. Peace on earth, among the nations, in the home, in the neighborhood. No. But Paul continues, but now is Christ, this anointed one, Christ the Messiah, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits, that is the prototype of them that slept. That's the hope that we have as Christians. That is the confident anticipation that the Savior will make good on his promise, because I live, ye shall live also. And when we take the precious Christ child of Bethlehem up into our arms of faith, brethren, we not only have access to that hope as something potential for us, but the writer to the Hebrews says we have that hope as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. So take him up, then, beloved hearers of this wonderful Christmas gospel. Take him up as Simeon did, and fold him in your arms of faith, and with him all the blessings that he came to give to you and to me, his believing children. Peace of heart in the remission of your sins, in your reconciliation to God by his unilateral action for Jesus' sake. Purpose for your life, giving you something to do that will not simply make you a few dollars here in this world or accomplish something temporal for people round about you, but do something for people that would redound to their everlasting salvation, sharing with them the gospel. Jesus brings hope to your future, even in the face of death, be you young or old, so that you can declare with Simeon, with a happy tone in your voice and a happy smile on your face, in peace and joy I now depart. I hold my Jesus to my heart. No fear, no hell can vex me sore when I shall stand at death's dark door. 'Tis but the gate to heaven. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in your Savior unto life everlasting. Amen.